This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, as we want to continue our study through Matthew's Gospel. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 4 this morning. Remember, Jesus had been up on the mountain. He'd been preaching and teaching to the multitudes after he had taught his disciples. He'd been teaching them truths of the kingdom of God, what our character is to be like if we're truly a child of the King, how we're to act, how we're to live, what is the characteristic of our life as people look at us. What makes us different from those who would seek to follow the principles of this world instead of the principles of God? Jesus has now come down off the mountain, and this is the first of the miracles that Matthew shares with us. And it's an interesting one that he would start out with. Remember, Matthew is speaking to the Jewish people. He wrote his gospel geared to the Jews. You remember it had the lineage of Jesus showing that he was the one that was the rightful heir to the King of David, to the throne of David. And he's talked about things that are specific that Jewish people would understand. It's the most Jewish of all the gospels. And I want you to keep in mind as we read these for a few verses, and then we're going to be looking back at the book of Leviticus to help us interpret what Jesus is doing here. When he has come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole, clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word. Help us to understand the lesson that Jesus had not only for the Jewish people of the day in which he lived in healing this man of his leprosy, but the lesson he has for us as well. Lord, speak to us through your word. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to understand leprosy is a disease that in the world today is relatively rare. And if you catch leprosy in its early stages, today we have antibiotics that we can cure it. But it wasn't that long ago that leprosy was a big problem. In Hawaii, the whole island of Molokai at one time was a leper colony. Why? Because people, Hawaiians, got leprosy. And prior to the introduction of antibiotics and the understanding that leprosy was caused by a bacteria that could be treated, there was no cure. And it was a horrible disease. What would happen is leprosy, the bacteria kills the nerves, and you can't feel things. And so consequently, you can pick something up that's burning hot, and you won't feel a thing. And you'll burn your hands. And your nerves, as they die, you have accidents because you can't feel things. You can't, you don't know that you're doing certain things because you don't have the senses that you once had. You begin to lose parts of your body. Oftentimes lepers will lose their fingers, lose their hands. Their faces can become disfigured because of the nerves being attacked by the bacteria. At the time that Jesus lived, unless God supernaturally intervened, there was no cure for leprosy. And if you go, and we're going to look at it in just a moment, in the book of Leviticus, the Lord talks to the nation of Israel what that's supposed to happen with lepers. For one thing, if you got leprosy, you were no longer to be part of the camp. You had to live outside the camp. You no longer could be part of the group of the people that were those that were dearest to you. You were no longer part of them. You were separated from your family. You were separated from your kinsmen. You were separated from your culture. And you could live only with other lepers. It's interesting, it didn't matter if leprosy struck someone who was wealthy or someone who was poor, the same treatment was required. You were placed outside the camp. One of the kings of Israel, as a matter of fact, did that which was in defiance of what God had called him to do. He'd been a good king up until that time. But then he decided he knew better than God. And God struck him with leprosy. And he, who was the king of Israel, had to go and live outside the camp. He couldn't rule from his throne. He couldn't give the orders he'd once given because he had leprosy. As this man comes to Jesus, this is no small thing he's asking of Jesus. He worships the Lord and he tells him, "I know you can heal me. Will you?" What a question. I want you to keep that in mind as we look at the whole concept of leprosy and why Jesus is doing this and the instructions he gives him. The question, will you? And Jesus says, "I will." Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it was like when that man heard those words? "I will. I will." Then he says something rather interesting. Now, if you've just been healed from leprosy, the leprosy's gone. The Lord just removes it from your body. You're clean. You can go and be with your family again. You can go and be with your friends again. You can go and live in the city that you'd once lived in again. You would think that the first thing you'd want to do is go and shout it from the mountaintops, "I'm clean! I'm clean! I'm whole!" But what does Jesus tell him to do? Let's look at verse 4. "And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man." Well, they're going to see it. But he says, "Tell no man." I don't want you to go and tell people right away. But instead, I'm going to ask you to do something that the law of Moses says you need to do. And we're going to look at what that is. He says, "But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto" who? "Them." Now this is interesting. He's telling him, "I want you to go and show yourself to the priest." That's what Moses says, and that's what it's going to say in the book of Leviticus that we're going to look at in just a moment. "Go and show yourself to the priest, and then offer the sacrifices" that we're going to look at in just a moment, "as it'll be a testimony unto" them. Who is them? Who's the leper going to be in the presence of when he's doing this? The priest. Why would Jesus tell him to go to the priests, offer the sacrifices, show himself to the priest, offer the sacrifices, that it may be a testimony unto them? Well, again, one has to look at who were the priests at this time. They were the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in miracles. The Sadducees did not believe in the Word of God. The Sadducees did not believe in resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees were really much like liberals in the church today. They say that they hold to the Bible, but they don't believe anything. They've rewritten the whole concept of the Scriptures. They've got a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different word. It's not the same. That was the Sadducees. They said they followed the law of Moses. They still did the sacrifices, but they didn't even do the sacrifices believing what the sacrifices were for, because they did it to line their own pockets. And that's evident when Jesus enters into the temple on two occasions, driving the money changers out and calling them a den of thieves and overturning tables. He knew exactly what they were. They didn't believe in God. And he's sending a man that he has healed from leprosy, something that isn't done. And then he tells him, go and show yourself and then offer the sacrifices. Well, let's go back to Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14, and we're going to look at cleansing for leprosy. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. So is Jesus doing what Moses said? Is he having the man doing what Moses said? The answer is yes. He's doing exactly what Moses said. You bring him unto the priest. Bring him unto the high priest. You show him that he is no longer leprous. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Where does the leper show himself? Outside the camp. He can't even enter into the camp. He can't go to the tabernacle at this time, the temple at the time of Jesus, to show himself to the priest. He has to have somebody go and get the priest, come outside the camp to look at him. Then what happens? Then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. Now this is rather odd. Okay? In order for him to be declared clean, he examines him, and then he gets two birds, and he gets scarlet, and he gets cedar wood, and hyssop. What is the significance of these? In the Old Testament, there are things that are, like I said, the Old Testament, it's concealed. The New Testament, it's revealed. In the Old Testament, there are things that are concealed in the types of things that are happening in the tabernacle and the worship. But they're all pointing to what? Jesus. And they're pointing to his ability to heal and to forgive and to cleanse men from what? Their sin. Their sin. Man's problem has always been his sin. You know, we can have physical problems, but the real core problem is our sin. What's the significance of cedar wood and hyssop? As I was looking at this, if you imagine, the cedars are some of the tallest trees in the Middle East. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of cedars left in Lebanon today, because when the Muslims came in, they taxed trees, so everybody cut their trees down, so they didn't have to pay tax. And that's why Israel had no trees. It's also why the cedars of Lebanon are not what they once were. But the cedars, at the time of Moses, were a giant tree. Hyssop was a small plant. From the greatest to the smallest, they're to be treated the same. And that's exactly what this is dealing with. The greatest to the smallest are to come in the same manner. What is scarlet? Scarlet, when you see it in Scripture, signifies really sin. It's red. It signifies sin. We talk about we have hymns that talk about the scarlet cord. You have hymns that talk about that the blood will, that His blood will cover our sin. And scarlet deals with sin. So we have cedarwood, hyssop, scarlet, and two birds. What is the significance of two birds? Well, they're not just ordinary birds, they have to be clean birds. There are birds that are clean and birds that are unclean, and you have to go and look at what God says are clean and unclean. The clean birds can be used for sacrifices. In most cases, when birds are used for sacrifices, it's because they're the poorest of the poor people. And they can't afford a bullock. They can't afford even a lamb. They can't afford anything but a bird. And that's what's interesting when you look at when Mary and Joseph went to offer sacrifice for Jesus when they went to the temple and did that. You know what they offered? They offered birds. That tells us they weren't wealthy people. They didn't have a lot of money. But you see, there's two birds being offered here. The two birds, it's interesting. He doesn't say two bullocks, he doesn't say two lambs, he says two birds. We can't afford anything in coming to God. We can hardly afford to even come. So he says, bring two birds. The priest is to get two birds. They're to be clean birds. They're not to be crows. They're not to be eagles. They're not to be hawks. They're to be doves or another clean bird that is able to be offered for sacrifice. Then he says, and the priest shall command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Okay? So now you've got one bird being killed in an earthen vessel over running water. What's the significance? I believe the significance of running water is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is always that which brings conviction for our sin. The Spirit of God is the one that leads us to Jesus. The Spirit of God is the one that works in our hearts to give us understanding of our need to confess and come to Christ. So this bird is to be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Then he goes on and he says, as for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living, and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. What is the significance of this? The scriptures tell us sin cannot be forgiven except by the shedding of blood. Whenever you see blood sacrifices in the Old Testament, it's dealing with the forgiveness of sin. It's showing us something about it. And remember, Jesus is telling this leper that's been healed, go to the priests. Show yourself to the priest and do the sacrifices according to the law of Moses. Do this exactly like this. To be a testimony to them. They should have known, right? They're the ones that claim to be the spiritual leaders. They claim to have all the spiritual insight. They claim to be the ones that were the spiritual leaders of the country. But they didn't even know who Jesus was. They didn't even know who the Messiah was. They didn't believe that the Messiah had to come. They didn't believe in any of the prophets or what they really said. So there was no need for these blood sacrifices to forgive sins because they really probably didn't even believe in sin. And it was a reproach to God. And as he's going, he's doing this. The priest is to go and he's to do this. He's to take the bird. He's to kill the one bird in an earthen vessel over running water. That is, the shed blood is to be put over the Spirit. What is that showing? The Spirit of God. What? The Spirit of God led the Son into the wilderness. The Spirit of God led the Son to the cross. The Spirit of God was there to point us to Christ and the shed blood. He says, and he will sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose to the open field. What is the significance of that? Why would he let the living bird loose? What happens when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? When you are led by the Spirit of God to realize the shed blood that has been sprinkled on you, that you can be cleansed, that you can be clean. You are a new creature and you are free. You are no longer enslaved to the sin that once enslaved you. You are no longer a captured by the rebellion of your heart. You are no longer part of Satan's kingdom, but now you're part of Christ's. And you're set free. This bird is set free. But it's been sprinkled with blood before it was set free. You and I are sprinkled with blood before we're set free. Jesus Christ's blood covers our sin in order for us to be free. Then he goes on. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. I was thinking, why would God do this? Why would he have you shave yourself? Shave off all your hair. All the hair on your body is to be shaved. And you're to wash yourself so you're clean and you put on new clothes. Now, part of that is you get rid of the bacteria that was there, right? We know that. But I think there's more significance than that. How does a baby come into the world? They come in looking different than we do. Little boy babies don't have beards. Little boy and girl babies, they may have hair, but it's not long hair. They don't have a lot of hair in their arms. They don't have hair in parts of their body that you get hair as adults. What happens when we're saved? We're a new creature in Christ. We're newborn. Paul says that we're a new babe. It's symbolism, but sometimes people don't get it if they don't see it. This guy, everything is new. He doesn't have his old do. I don't know what kind of hair he had, if it was long or short, a mullet or what, but it's gone. He doesn't have his old clothes, they're gone. He doesn't even have the dirt that he'd accumulated walking to the path, it's gone. It's new. But then he can't even go back into his house for 7 days. What is the significance of 7? 7 is a number, if you usually see 7 in Scripture, it's talking about that which is complete, that which is whole. Man, oftentimes the number they'll use for man in Scripture is 6. For example, in the book of Revelation, the Antichrist is referred to as the man of perdition, and his number is 666. It's an incomplete number. But after 7 days, also the mark of God's creation, then he can go into his tent. But it should be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows and all his hair that he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes and he shall wash his flesh in water and he shall be clean. And on the 8th day, he shall take 2 lambs without blemish. So he does all this, then he waits 7 days, he does it all again. Then he takes 2 lambs. And on the 8th day he shall take 2 lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and three tenth deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and one log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And this would be at the time, at the temple at the time of Jesus. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you just briefly what these different offerings are, because there's significance in that too. We don't really oftentimes study offerings. But the trespass offering, I want to make sure I get this right. Trespass offering is found in verses 10 and 11. The trespass offering was for things that I can make right. Okay? I took a pen of yours. And according to the law, if I took something, I had to give so much back. And it's something that I could do. A trespass offering is that type of sin. It's something that I could do and make right on my own if I just followed the law. And so he was to take and offer a trespass offering for those things that he needed to make right on his own. But it didn't stop there. He was also to do a wave offering. And wave offerings were typically done, and they're offerings that were really praising God. That was part of the wave offering. They're offerings of praise. So he's praising him that he gets to offer a trespass offering, that he can acknowledge the sins that he can make right, and he will make them right. And he's praising God because he can do that. Then it says, and the priest that maketh him clean, and he shall slay the lamb, in verse 13, in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take the sum of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of his right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. So there's two more offerings, and then he takes the blood of the first offering, the trespass offering, and places it on his ear, his right thumb, and his big toe on his right foot. Well, let's take a look at what those other two offerings mean. The sin offering, it's found in verses 12 through 18. The sin offering is an offering that's acknowledging the fact of the intent and unintended sins that I have committed. The intended and unintended sins that I've committed. That's David crying out to the Lord about the intended sins that he had done. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba in Psalm 51. He had committed murder by having her husband murdered. He had done those things. And this offering was for that type of sin. The burnt offering, the whole offering was consumed. There was nothing left. The other two, the priest took part of the lamb, and that became his payment. That's what he, because they didn't have places to raise sheep, they didn't have land, they didn't have farms, they didn't have, couldn't grow crops, but they got part of the offerings. And so they got part of the trespass, they got part of the sin offering, but they did not get any of the burnt offering. The burnt offering was totally consumed. What was the burnt offering, the significance of the burnt offering? The burnt offering was for the complete, whole sin of the individual. And also to acknowledge there was nothing good that came out of it. Now, all of these things resulted in the blood being placed on the ear, the thumb, and the toe of the leper. What's the significance of that? He was to leave as a what person? A transformed person, a new person. He was to hear from God. He was to do for God. And he was to walk where God would take him. The blood was covering him, which gave him a new life and gave him a new calling and gave him a new direction. And that was all done, not because he deserved it, because he deserved the burnt offering. But the blood had been taken so it could be placed upon him that he could be a new creature. What does that have in relation to us? Why would Jesus send this and tell them, go back and have them do all the offerings for a testimony to them? For a testimony to them. First of all, they didn't believe in God. They're priests, but they didn't believe in God. And they will look at this testimony, and then they're, who are they? Who? And they're going to be asking, well, who sent you? Who sent you? Which they did ask on more than one occasion. And when they found out it was Jesus, they became angry. But they shouldn't have. Because he'd sent him back to reveal to them the offerings that were all pointing to the offering that would be made for their sins, that would cover them with his blood, that he would be completely put to death, not partially, but completely, like the burnt offering. And he would rise again new, and that his blood could cover their ears, their thumbs, their toes, that they could hear, that they could do, and that they could go where God wanted them to hear, do, and go. But the sad thing is they didn't hear. He took this back to them, but they didn't see the significance of it. But Jesus is trying to teach them. I'm those offerings. I'm like those birds. You're putting me to death, and my spirit is there. And that blood that is dipped, that other bird is dipped in that blood, and it's set free a new creature. It's got freedom that it never had before. And Jesus is telling these people this. This is much more than just the healing of a physical disease. This man was being taught by Jesus the significance of the whole sacrificial system, and it was all pointing to him. That man not only could be set free from leprosy, but he could be set free from his sin. To be a new creature in Christ, that Jesus' blood was covering him, and that he would be set free, a new creature in Christ. And just as that man shaved his whole body, washed himself, put on new clothes, and became a new man, likewise in Christ, we're a new creature. That's exactly what Paul tells us we are. Behold, old things are put away. And behold, all things become what? New in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is what Jesus has done for us. There's significance in why Matthew chose that miracle to show. He's speaking to a Jewish audience. They knew all about leprosy. They knew all about how a man should be made clean. They knew all about the sacrificial system, but they didn't ever tie it together with Jesus. And Jesus just did it. And he said, this all pointed to me. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this. Help us to realize that you came to shed your blood. And your spirit came to lead us to the cross of Calvary, that we could see the need for our sin to be forgiven. And just as leprosy was killing men, sin brings death. But by the blood, we are set free. Lord, I pray that you just go with us and teach us the lessons that we need to learn. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.